Hidey-ho, hidey-ho, Nevada Shooters. It is Saturday, November 21st, 3:07 p.m.
Where has this year gone?
Holy smokes, it's out the window.
It's crazy.
It's gone fast. Wow. On that note, too, weren't we just here like yesterday? It seems like it.
Yeah, this week went by really fast.
It flew by. What's new with you this week? Anything exciting going on?
Part of it was I spent 3 days in Crapifornia the last week.
Were you armed, allegedly?
No.
No. Really? You caved into the man?
I took it with me, but I'm not carrying it. It went along in my safe with my 10-round magazine.
You can't even take it with you.
Friggin' waste of money.
Was it in the trunk?
No, it was locked in my mini safe.
Oh,
no,
felon.
No, if it's locked in a locked container, you're good.
In the passenger compartment?
Yeah. In a locked container other than the glove box, and it's in that.
I thought it had to be. I thought the ammo and the gun had to be in separate portions of the vehicle. And
no, the ammo has to be separated from the gun. It can't be in the gun.
No. I gave up trying to figure out California
locked
penal
container
code a long time ago.
I printed out the CHP on the website where it says how to transport a handgun, and I taped it to the top of the safe just so if there's any question.
Like, here it is.
Yep.
Here, good trooper. Look.
Well, you know what? I've heard nothing but good things about the California Highway Patrol with regards to lawful transport of firearms.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about the sheriff's deputy or the city cop as I'm getting off the freeway.
I've got stopped a couple of times, allegedly.
Yeah, but you have a magic gold shield of
my get out of jail free card. I don't use all
the rest of us. Well, I know, but even if you don't use it to get out of something,
Well, in my defense,
you're granted a lot more leniency, and you have a lot more. You have a lot more privilege than I do when it comes to carrying a firearm.
I won't necessarily deny that on all points. It depends on your experience differently.
My libertarian side hates the fact that you have greater carry rights than I do. I know we've disagreed about this.
It's not written, but yeah, I would agree with you on that. However, it's going to, and your experience aside, with a certain state patrolman.
I've had good experiences and bad experiences.
Right. Every experience I've had with California Highway Patrol has been a good one. And they've seen my gun before they knew who I was. So to say that I got a pass because I've got a 7-point get out of jail free card, and a retired ID, that doesn't hold water.
Did I ever tell you about the fix-a ticket I thought was going to get a CHP officer killed?
No.
He pulls me over in my Mustang that I had last year and to write me for no front license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked for my license, registration, everything, clips it to his, right above his pocket or, in the pen.
Yeah.
And the thing blows out from under the pen out into the I-80 right down in Sacramento. He runs after it. I'm like, are you kidding me? A piece of paper can be replaced.
Cow.
Oh, so I'm thinking I'm going to have to explain to his buddies how he got hit by a semi running after my license and registration.
Do you think you still would have got a ticket?
Probably. I would have gotten a lot of tickets.
By the next responding officer that showed up.
Fortunately, he wasn't. No officer was hurt in that interaction, but man.
I remember I was on a call of a fraud involving some guy trying to sell a stolen moped on Craigslist. And, anyway, the guy shows up to buy the stolen moped. Turns out it was his moped he was trying to buy back.
Nice.
So he calls us over there, and we get there right at the transaction, hook the guy up, recover the moped. And it was subarctic wind. I mean, the wind's blowing like 50, 60 miles an hour. It's unbelievable. Ugh. I've got a handful of witness statements. And I moved one hand to grab my pen. Whoosh!
All of
these witness statements that they just filled out blew up onto the roof of a Smith's grocery store.
So you had to have them fill them all out again.
Crap! Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, and of course the story is never the same after that. And the witness is like, "Really? I got to fill this out again?"
Right?
Yeah, kind of. So we got some great stuff to talk about. I have something that I think this is going to be probably one of the few conversations we've had where you and I are not quite on the same page.
You know what? We got pretty heated over the summer about the open carry discussion.
We did.
That was pretty funny. My dad was here for that discussion.
Yes.
We're going to have another one of those today?
We might.
Yes.
We might have another one of those today.
All right. You're in an argumentative mood today, I think.
Oh, my God. After last night? With our little Facebook blow up with, I'm not even getting over
you. Just can't let anything go on Facebook.
Not when people are being retarded. Ridiculous.
A
and
warning
delusional.
To our few listeners that are my friend on Facebook. Don't ever engage Gary in a disagreement on Facebook. He will not let it go,
and you will lose. You will lose that argument. She lost the argument.
I lost track.
She is being...
I lost track.
Okay, for people that are listening right now, it got into started out as a discussion, and then she just, like all liberals do, resorted to name-calling and profanity, right?
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, well, you know, when that's your last-ditch effort when you know that your argument's not winning. And the discussion slash argument was about the current refugee crisis.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There is no... Look, I don't care what Obama's administration says. I don't care what DHS says. Listen, there is no possible way to vet these people because a database simply does not exist. The interview process, are you a terrorist? Do you have any terrorist leanings?
No, I don't.
Well, really? You're going to take their word for that? How do you know they're not lying to you? There's no vetting process. We have an open borders policy in this country.
Well,
they're just walking
by default.
Walking through the back door right up into Texas and Arizona and California. You can't vet them. So we're getting into this, and this young lady is just, you know, everything's, you know, feel good. I want to hug them. I want to take, you know. And I'm like, fine. You want them here? Start building bunk beds in your garage. Until then, your self-righteous indignation is nothing but Facebook folly. And it went back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, she just wants to invite everybody in because we're all... You know, we all want to lay flowers at their feet and we want to accept everyone and every... Come on, really? You're going to risk the lives of your fellow countrymen for this? And so it went back and forth and back and forth. But we had a similar conversation, actually on two different pages, on my business page as well as our Armed Nevada Radio page.
Yep.
And I want to talk about that today. That involves the issue of marijuana use and the possession of firearms or concealed carry.
Okay. So there's two separate issues.
Okay.
There's marijuana in relation to gun ownership and purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's marijuana use and the concealed carry permit acquisition and
right.
Okay. So where are we going
to
start?
Okay. There are two sides to this issue, just like you outlined. Number one, marijuana is still a federally controlled
absolutely
substance.
And just because this current administration has maintained a moratorium on enforcement of marijuana laws does not mean that that's the way it's going to be
exactly
in a year and what
doesn't
3 months
that,
when
right.
the new administration
it doesn't
takes
mean
over.
That's the way it's going to be tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, who knows? It's still bottom line. We are a nation of laws.
So if you got a DEA agent mad enough at you, there's still a law that they can absolutely hook, book, and prosecute you for.
Absolutely, they can.
Yep.
Now, state law. Here in Nevada, if you have a medicinal marijuana card, which is only good in the state in which you live,
right.
and it limits the number of plants that you can grow,
right.
All right, yes, you can possess a firearm, you can get a concealed carry permit. Because, look, honestly, when you go to get your concealed carry permit, are you going to admit that you've got a medicinal marijuana card? No. And even if they find out during the NICS check, it's nothing that prohibits you from doing carrying a firearm, concealed or otherwise, or possessing if you have a medicinal marijuana card.
Well, so wait a second. On the ATF form,
mm-hmm.
4473?
Yes.
Okay. When you go to buy a handgun, or go to buy any gun, excuse mm-hmm. me, it does ask, are you a habitual user?
Line item 11A asks you, are you addicted to, are you a habitual user of, or addicted to a controlled substance?
Well, so if you smoke marijuana...
Habitually. Look, if you smoke marijuana, it's habitually.
Well,
there's no such thing as a recreational smoker.
Well, so if it's more than once, it'd be interesting to talk to Jesse and see what the lawful definition of habitual actually mm-hmm. is. Is it more than once? Is it more than twice? If you are regularly smoking marijuana, you can't answer that question
truthfully and pass a NICS check.
Right. And then if you...
It's an automatic disqualifier.
And so you're either perjuring yourself... Or you're mm-hmm. answering it honestly and you're disqualified.
Right.
So technically... So,
there, it's a lot to be said about being truthful.
Well...
You can lie, but, you know...
Okay, here's the thing. As much as I disagree or I feel like that the background check is ineffectual or, you know, ineffective...
Correct.
And there's been no empirical evidence to suggest that the Brady background checks have done anything to stem crime. Oh, man, I'm going to have to come back to this thought after the break.
You are. We're up against a break real quick. We will be right back. You're listening to Ben and Gary, Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. Shoot the And we're back. You're listening to Ben and Gary on KNews 107.3 FM, Armor Battery Radio. Ben, right. You're in the middle of a point.
I want you to
finish this point. What is it?
Well, so I was just going to say that there's been nothing to prove that the Brady background check has done anything to stem crime. However,
I agree with that.
Having said that, it is, until we can either repeal it or have a court strike it down, it's the law, and that's what we play by.
Right.
And I am a big supporter of, you know, right now, with the way things are, you know, that background check, you need to be honest and truthful. It's not worth losing your right to own firearms.
It's not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right now, those are the rules we have to play within. And I think that they should be played within. And because I don't want to see anybody lose their right to own firearms because they lied on a stupid background check.
Well, like I said earlier, too, we are a nation of laws. You do not have the luxury of picking and choosing which laws you want to obey and which ones you're going to ignore. It doesn't work that way. That's not how that works. We respect the laws of the land, period, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, unless that law is just completely unjust and has been proven so. That's the only exception to that rule. Otherwise, we're a nation of laws. Okay. When I was working the street,
yeah,
there were lots of laws that I didn't agree with.
Right.
I'm like, why? What's the purpose of this?
Right.
I didn't have the luxury of turning my head and looking the other way.
Right.
Right. I had to enforce the laws that I had sworn an oath to enforce. Here, let me ask you a question. What possible good can come from a habitual user of marijuana, whether it's medicinal or not, because the physiological effects are exactly the same? What possible good can come from somebody who is a habitual user of marijuana and under the influence from getting a hold of that gun, even though they may lawfully, in air quotes, possess it, and now while under the influence of marijuana, they get in a deadly force encounter and either lose or because of their impairment, they kill an innocent
collateral
person.
Damage, yeah.
Because that's a distinct possibility.
Well, and that's where, again, when we talk about firearms and using firearms and carrying firearms and training with firearms, that's where responsible use comes in. And that's mm-hmm. where we have to understand as gun owners that you are absolutely responsible for what comes out of the barrel of that gun.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
Look, I know an individual. I'm not going to name him. I know a person here in Northern Nevada that possesses numerous firearms.
Yep.
All right. Has never submitted to a NICS check to purchase them, quote unquote, lawfully. Mm. He does them all through private sales or he trades.
So is he a prohibited possessor?
He is a prohibited possessor because, albeit he has a medicinal marijuana card.
Okay.
He is a habitual user of or addicted to a controlled substance per the definition that the federal government assigns. Okay. And on top of that, he has some serious cognitive reasoning deficiencies. let me just put it that way. Okay. This is the kind of guy that how do I put this diplomatically? This is the kind of person that with the issues that he has,
yeah,
ends up being an active shooter in some cases. This is the guy that you don't want because he's a scary dude. All right.
Well, all right. Well, here's a bigger issue.
Well, let me say the one thing. I can tell you that the little birdie may or may not have made a phone call to ATF.
Oh, all right. Well, I was just going to say, what responsibility do we have when we know of situations like this?
See something, say something.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So we've talked a little bit about how we need to live within the law. It's a stupid reason to lose your ability to own firearms. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's my libertarian stance. I don't think the government should be controlling either issue. Marijuana, you know what? You know how many millions of dollars? What a colossal waste of money the last 40 yeah. years of marijuana interdiction has been. And not only has it been a colossal waste of money, but we have also empowered the Mexican drug cartels and the Central American drug cartels in producing marijuana.
Right.
And we are fueling, I think, to a certain extent, these laws and this policy is fueling the violence that's going on in Mexico. Obviously, there's, you know, cocaine and some other things contribute to that as well. But You know what? As I've been paying attention to the news, you know, large seizures of marijuana have become regular over the border. Okay. And so we're wasting all this money. I don't think we're cutting down on use at all. I don't think that the prohibition against it is stemming people that want to use it.
Right.
So my libertarian side says, you know what? This is completely a waste of our time and money. And the other thing is, you look at, so far, you look at states like Colorado that have legalized it for personal use. And I know it's early, but so far there's been no indication that violent crime has risen.
Let me make this point. With every right comes a responsibility. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. You have a right to step outside in a strong wind and piss all over your shoes if you want to. Okay, but nobody's going to be awarding you intelligence points for doing that. Right?
Even if my shoes are dirty?
Even if your shoes are dirty. The only time you can piss on your feet is if you get stung by a jellyfish. I don't know. That's what I read somewhere.
Athlete's foot?
Athlete's foot might work. I tell you what, that does work.
Are we going down a
rabbit trail? We're going down a rabbit hole here. Let's get back on point. Okay, with every right comes responsibility.
Yeah. Okay.
Your right to carry a firearm does not come without certain responsibilities that you must adhere to go along with that right.
Right. Well, and don't misunderstand my libertarian stance that while I think that marijuana should absolutely be legalized and I think the government should stop controlling it and, you know, stop controlling firearms, and we've had that discussion, that does not remove the responsibility that, you know, when I decide that I'm going to have a few cocktails, my firearm is not on me. Mm-hmm. It gets placed in the safe. You know, like that is, I know that if I'm altered, you know, if my intoxication level reaches a certain point, that gun's got to go away. And I would expect...
I'm getting out my Ben Davis to alcohol level conversion chart here. Let's see. It says here that Ben Davis, a few cocktails. Oh, a few equals a dozen or more.
Oh, stop. Stop. I'm very conservative in my alcohol consumption.
You are very conservative. I'm just busting your hump.
And I would expect that any user of marijuana would use the same... exercise the same level of responsibility, because you know what? There are laws on the books already. So if we legalize marijuana, there still are laws about being intoxicated or altered when it comes to carrying a firearm.
Exactly. Well, don't get me wrong. I think the people that drink to excess and are armed are just as guilty as those that habitually use marijuana and are
armed.
I
would probably argue that somebody that's drinking with a firearm is more dangerous than somebody that's high with a firearm.
In the short-term effects, yes, but it has been scientifically proven that the long-term effects of marijuana on the human body and the brain are horribly detrimental.
Yeah, but I don't know
if
that's...
And they're not necessarily reversible.
But I don't know if that's material to this discussion, though.
Well, if you're going to be making the comparison of, say, alcohol use or cigarettes, it's absolutely germane to the discussion.
Well, but alcohol use over the long term causes significant physical...
Sure it does. And I'm agreeing with you on that.
And it can alter people permanently.
Alcohol is not a controlled substance.
My thought is, if we're using the same measure to advocate that marijuana is a controlled substance, then I think alcohol should be a controlled substance.
Let me show you some of the comments that I received.
How many drunk driving accidents did you mop up after as a law enforcement officer?
More than I ever care to remember.
How many accidents did you mop up for being high on marijuana?
You know what? It takes
a lot fewer,
it
right?
It takes one. Reno motor officer, I want to say about 7-8 years ago, he and another motor officer responded to an injury accident.
I'm not saying there isn't any, but I'm saying if you counted, you know, if we looked at the difference.
But it's a gamble. You're rolling the dice.
Of course.
Bottom line is, we're a nation of laws. If you can't carry that gun responsibly and you're going to carry it high, you're just as guilty as someone carrying it drunk.
You and I agree on that.
All right. We're going to... What are we looking at? We got 1 minute to go here. Let me do this.
Talk fast.
When we get back, I want to go over... I'm going to read some of the comments we've gotten, both pro and con.
Okay.
Quite a few pro-marijuana.
It really got people fired up.
It got people fired up. So when we come back, hang on through the break. We're going to be back in a minute. We're going to talk about some of the comments that people made on our Facebook page. And when we get back, you'll be back with Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. All right, you're back with Ben and Gary on Armed and Battered Radio. We're talking about marijuana use in firearms, and I don't want to take up the whole show for this. I want to create some time to some other things that are in the news. However, yeah. I want to go over some comments that people have made. This is on my business page. I posted the same link about, you know, hey, what are your thoughts on marijuana use and the possession of firearms?
Yeah.
Alicia says, the libertarian side of me says that neither item should be controlled by the government and people should have the right to choose for themselves. I think alcohol and guns are a much more dangerous combination.
Nice. Alicia?
I don't necessarily disagree with that. Not at all. Another person says, Wade writes in, says, it's a plant that grows in the wild. To deny a person the right to bear arms because of a plant does not seem to be just. What surprises me, as far as I know, is it is lawful to have a concealed carry permit and take antidepressants because they cause suicidal thoughts and violent tendencies. I would strongly disagree with that.
Well, no.
That's a blanket statement.
It is.
Not necessarily.
It is, but he does bring up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there are a lot of medications out there that have some significant side effects.
Sure. Vicodin, Percocet,
right.
Dilaudid.
None of those are enumerated in the concealed carry application.
No.
Or.
But antidepressants are not a Schedule I controlled narcotic.
But.
And the effects are to the good side.
I think what he's pointing out, though, is that there is some hypocrisy in the way the government classifies controlled substances and what is dangerous and what isn't.
There may or may not be, but to throw antidepressants in there, it's just not it's not true. It's just not true. I'm not saying that everybody that takes antidepressants is vanilla unicorns and rainbows, because there are some people that have detrimental effects from the use of antidepressants, but the number of those people is in the minority, not the majority.
Well, we'll save the antidepressant discussion for a different day.
So I answered. I said, you know, dandelions are a plant that grows in the wild, but they're not a federally controlled substance. It can be felonious in large enough amounts, nor do dandelions produce the same scientifically proven long-term detrimental effects that prolonged marijuana use does. To call marijuana just another plant that grows in the wild is to severely sugarcoat the issue.
You seem pretty eager to defend dandelions. Is there something I need to know?
They make a great salad. You ever had a dandelion salad?
No.
Oh, my God, it's delicious. So, and then we get a Trish writes in. And she says, if I had more time, I would word this a little better and say a little bit more. But briefly, this is what I think. It should be allowed. Emphasis on exclamation points.
Yeah.
This is America. Emphasis on election, on whatever.
America.
And I'm sorry, but if you have alcohol in your fridge and own a gun, cannabis should be no different. Excuse me? I've got alcohol in my fridge. Should I not own a gun?
Well, no.
Does alcohol use make everybody a lush? No.
Well, no. Is she pointing it out from the reverse, though? Is she saying that?
Well, if she is, she's doing it very poorly, in my opinion.
Not everybody argues on Facebook as well as you do.
This is true. Not everybody can be that way. Cannabis should be no different, as it is much safer and less inebriating than alcohol.
I tend to agree.
Show me the stats on that.
I tend to agree. From anecdotal experience from other people around me.
I'm going to withhold opinion on that one, but show me the stats. I'm open-minded on that.
Okay.
The fact that cannabis is illegal federally is a whole other issue in itself to begin with. There are no reasons why a plant should be illegal. It's not just a plant. People are comparing marijuana, which rarely grows in the wild anymore, okay? They're comparing it to dandelions.
It does in the Midwest.
And potatoes and cotton. Come on. It's not the same thing. There are no reasons why a plant should be illegal. It is illegal now because... Oh, God. Get ready for this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sit down. It is... Oh, I lost my place. Hold on. Here we go. It is illegal now because of racism. Racism.
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious. It is illegal now because of racism and competition backing Congress to make it illegal so they can continue to profit.
I don't think that has anything to do with it, but thanks for the
comment.
It has
nothing to do with it, yeah. Well, she goes on, hemp is a completely different thing than weed, but it too is illegal. Why is that?
I'd have to research it. I don't know.
I don't know, because it makes sandals and hats? I don't know. Why? It grows faster with less maintenance than cotton and without the bugs and need to rotate the crops. Oh, my God. Here we go with the green argument.
Yeah.
Hemp also surpasses what... Oh, good. Good Lord. Ready? Hemp also surpasses what coal and oil can do for us in terms of fuel.
There's always that one person in a marijuana argument.
Go fracking. If the government would allow it, and why wouldn't... misspellings, if they care so much about conserving the rainforests and keeping the planet healthy, it's all BS. She started out with a fairly cognitive, somewhat intelligent response, and then she just went off the reservation. And I quit, and that was it.
I couldn't take anymore. I don't think you and I necessarily completely disagree on this topic.
No, not entirely.
I think actually, compared to our open carry discussion, I think there's way more agreement here that, you know, our prohibition against marijuana has been a resounding failure in terms of government resources, and it's done nothing to...
You know what? But where do you stop? Okay, so we legalize marijuana. First of all, it's never going to be legal across the country. It'll never happen.
Personally, I think clearly there's a big difference between marijuana and methamphetamines.
That's where I was going with this. If you legalize marijuana state to state, which will never happen because of states' rights, and there are those states that will never do it.
Yeah, but right. In this era of federal power, there's no such thing as states' rights anymore.
Well, I know, but this is one of those things where the federal government really doesn't have an argument. They can't push marijuana legalization on states. It's
equal
simply
protection
under
the law.
Yep. Equal protection under the law. So where does it stop? All right. So we legalize marijuana. What do we do next? We legalize heroin?
No.
We legalize heroin is a plant that grows in the wild?
No, because I think there's a clear difference in terms of addictive qualities and the physical damage it does. I think there's a clear difference between heroin and marijuana.
I know it's a catchphrase, but it's a scientific fact. Marijuana is a gateway drug.
Yeah, see, I don't know that I buy that argument.
Oh, buy it or don't buy it. It's truth. Marijuana is a gateway drug.
I disagree.
Well, that's why we love you.
Well, and you know what? Nobody misunderstand. I don't smoke marijuana, so I just...
Anymore.
Never. Shut up.
You don't.
Shut up.
I'm just kidding you.
Dude, I'm about as straight-laced as it comes.
You are.
I didn't have my first drink until I was like 26, 27.
I can't say the same thing.
So, I just don't want there to be any misunderstanding. My support of it is from a getting government out of our lives perspective.
I agree, but I think that there are other areas where we need to get them out of our lives. And
I agree
100% on government needs to keep their friggin' hands off our gun rights. I agree with that.
Well, but I personally think that the whole marijuana argument plays into the liberal playbook, so to speak, or it is out of the liberal playbook. Because by getting people onto medical marijuana, I think that eventually there will become a day mm-hmm. where you get an aggressive ATF director or a couple of aggressive U.S. attorneys that subpoena states for medical marijuana cards, and then they go after those people revoking firearm ownership rights.
It could happen.
You know what? If you talk about firearm confiscation, that is the easiest. I think that's the path of least resistance for a couple of reasons. One, you can't argue with it because, you know, if they were to say you're habitually using a federally controlled substance, mm-hmm. can't argue with that. The other thing is the people that I know are not going to be willing to give up their marijuana just as much as they're not willing to give up their firearms.
Correct.
And most of America that does not smoke pot, or most of America who doesn't smoke pot, they're just going to, you know, put their hands up and say, I don't care if they get their guns taken away, they smoke pot.
Well,
so it could be a first step to confiscation without...
I don't know. I'm going to withhold on that,
That's my conspiracy theorist.
Again, with states' rights, I don't think that the federal government is going to be successful in coming in and confiscating state-issued CCW permits. Yeah, who are they going to do it? Who's going to do it? ATF?
When look at the Obama administration. When mm-hmm. has state law ever stood in the way of their...
I know, but this is,
you know,
just
look at Arizona and all of their immigration reforms.
This is one of those issues, though, where, again, they don't have the people to enforce that. They are not going to risk going door to door and taking people's concealed carry permits.
I have no faith in the federal government.
Oh, I don't either. But I just, from a realistic standpoint, from a law enforcement standpoint, it's not possible.
We should probably talk about Paris in the next segment.
We should. Yeah, we're going to wrap up this marijuana discussion. If you still want to get your points in, by all means, feel free. I've posted the link on our Armed Nevada Radio page as well as my Trinity Tactical business page. Let us know what you think.
Do you promise to be nice to people if they post on our page?
No. Of course not.
All right.
I call people out. When they're being delusional, I call them out. Like a helmet-wearing window licker at Chuck E. Cheese. I'm going to call them out.
All right.
All right, so we're going to be back after the break. You listen to Ben and Gary, KNews 107.3. We're coming back with some Paris.
Yeah, we should talk.
All right, we're back with Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio. A little disclaimer real quick. My previous comment about helmet-wearing window lickers is my opinion and my opinion.
Please direct all complaints.
Exactly. Direct those comments to me. It's not the opinion of the station or Shamrock Communications or Ben. You know, I gave up a long time ago trying to figure out where everybody's personal line of offense or no offense begins and ends. So, you know, look, if you're offended... Okay, I apologize.
You apologized?
Whoa. Not really. I'm being sarcastic. People are offended way too easily. I know we're kind of getting off the track here, but you know what? Seriously, when did we quit having fun?
Oh, I don't know. Was that 10 years ago it started?
Probably.
All right. Well, last week, let's move from not having fun to not having more fun.
Let's move from my offending the entire community to... some serious stuff.
Well, so I don't want to put it too dramatically, but I think that our consciousness changed a little bit here in the Western world on Friday with the Paris
absolutely.
Attack. This has happened in other countries, you know, Mumbai, right? And
yep.
Those of us in the tactical firearms world, Mumbai was, I think it was a wake up call for me that a group of, I don't want to say highly trained, but trained individuals, mm-hmm. with malintent or, you know, who are obviously radical Islamists or whatever they're hell-bent on doing, they can cause a lot of damage.
They can. Even more recently than Mumbai, the mall in Kenya.
That's true. Good. That's another point. Mumbai, I think, is more similar to Paris because it was executed across a couple of different locales. They used diversion and mm-hmm. some, you know, there was some definitely some military-type training there. And... you know, so it was but I think a lot of people didn't pay attention to Mumbai because, oh, it's India. It's, you know, it's not similar. It's not as similar to us. Well, you know what? Here it's happened in the West. It happened in Paris. And immediately, I think my thought process went from, you know, the majority of us carry a concealed weapon for the tweaker, you know, down the alley, right? That
right.
pulls a knife on you, threatens to kill one of your kids. And
which is far more likely to happen right,
right.
now.
Right. Well, but now it isn't the only concern.
No.
Now I think as concealed, because I personally think, and I don't know, I'm sure you agree with me, that this style of attack, you know, with 9/11, what could you do?
Nothing.
But with this style attack, there is the chance that there could be an opportunity for us to either stop it or mitigate part of it.
Correct.
And so... I guess that's where our worldview or our perspective on concealed carry has changed a little bit, that now armed citizens are the front lines on this battle.
I was listening to an interview last night on the Kelly File, and I know, shut up, Fox News. I don't care what your opinion is of Fox. Kelly's awesome. Anyway, she had two representatives from, I don't know if you've ever heard of it online, it's SOF Rep. They're a company that specializes in intelligence and all things tactical and current events. And two of the representatives, one was a 75th Ranger Regiment veteran. The other was a former U.S. Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
U.S. Navy SEAL said something that was very interesting. He says, what people need to understand about these terrorists, especially the ones in Paris, except for the guys behind the scenes, the guys that actually planned it, that put together the strategies and the tactics
right.
involved, the guys that were actually behind the trigger... they're not your brightest bulbs.
Not usually.
He goes, most of these guys are brand new recruits.
Yep.
The best thing they've got going for them is their commitment,
right.
for better or for worse.
Right.
He goes, the majority of these guys, they don't know how to reload a mag. They don't know how to reload their Kalashnikov. He goes, they don't know how to change out a magazine. If they have a feedway clearance or they have a feedway stoppage
right.
or something goes wrong with that gun, they don't know how to fix it. And
right.
so they walk away until they can get that gun running again.
Right.
Perfect example of that. Did you see the video from that one Paris cafe?
No.
From the surveillance cameras?
No.
Horrifying. Several people inside the cafe. It was 9:45 p.m. All of a sudden, the glass doors and windows just begin to explode.
Right.
and there was a car had pulled up. One guy got out of the car with an AK and just started spraying. Of the several people that were on the patio, street side of the cafe, you know how many were hit? None.
Really?
Not one person. Not a single person. Two got up and fled immediately. Two women dove for the ground under their table and froze. The gunman walks up, begins spraying through the window. Nobody inside the cafe was hit, save for one woman who got up from the patio, fled through the front door. She was hit in the shoulder by a bullet fragment.
Huh.
All right, very minor injury.
Yeah.
The two women cowering under the tables, you see on the surveillance camera. The terrorist walks up with the AK, leans over the top of the table with it, points it at the woman's head, pulls the trigger three times.
And nothing
happens. Gun goes click, click, click. Either because the weapon malfunctioned or his mag was empty and the rifle was in slide lock and he couldn't get it fixed. He simply walked away, got into a car drove off.
So
tell me that's not a hand of God moment.
Well, yeah, and in that scenario, there would have been an opportunity for someone if they had been concealed carrying. Obviously, I know it's France, but if they did, there would have been several opportunities to have mitigated the threat.
Oh, absolutely. And in that situation, I don't care if he's walking away from me or not. Yeah, I know that legally your right to use deadly force ends when the threat ends. If he's walking away, he's clearly not a threat to me anymore.
Yeah.
But guess what? Oh, he's catching several in the back.
So
that's a green light if there ever was one.
I guess so. The other thing is, do our tactics change? Does our situational awareness changes?
Well,
the things that we're looking for changes?
It does, because
with this new threat,
do you want to take on one or several individuals with AKs or assault rifles? And I'm using the term assault rifle correctly here, because an assault rifle is a select fire weapon,
which those were in France.
Which those were, not a semi-auto AR.
Right.
If you're armed with a handgun and anywhere from 8 to possibly 15 rounds, are you going to take on three guys with AKs? No. You're going to get the hell out of there.
Right.
You need to flee. You need to protect your family, whoever you're with. Get them out of there.
Actually, well, and that's a good point. We talked about the mall. Was that Nairobi? Kenya?
Kenya, yes.
So the mall came under assault by, was that Al-Shabaab or whatever
there?
So Islamic radicals stormed this mall, and there was that story of the guy that happened to be armed, because they have slightly less lax laws in Kenya, grabs his handgun, and he rescues... Well, I don't remember how many it was. He rescues quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Going in, grabbing them, going back in, grabbing them. And so there's an example where it's not a full frontal assault, obviously, against terrorists with AK-47s or whatever else is their weapon of choosing. But he rescued as many people as he could with his handgun in his hand.
That's correct. Another good point the SEAL brought up, he said that, look, he goes, you know what? Even trained snipers, most highly trained snipers that we have in our arsenal, have a difficult time hitting a moving target.
Yeah.
The chance, I'm from SoftRep, and this is a direct quote from him. The chances of a guy firing from the hip with an assault rifle has very little chance of hitting you if you're a moving target.
Right.
You may catch one in the leg. May miss you at all.
Get off that X, right?
Get off the X. Get out of there.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense to try and take on somebody like that. You have a much better chance getting out of there and fleeing than reestablishing your priorities.
Having said that, here in the United States of America, you look at the guy that started beheading people at his workplace.
Yeah.
We've talked about this on the show.
Yeah. That factory owner.
He ran out to his car, grabbed his, AR-15, and he dealt some justice.
And that was the absolute appropriate weapon in that incident.
And the fact that he was clearing hallways to me, these are always a wake up call that we need to continue to train. And,
I don't believe that, look, ISIS are not dummies. I don't believe that they would be able to carry out an attack such as they did in Paris, similarly here in Northern Nevada or anywhere in the state. Everybody's got a friggin' gun.
Wow, we're too far. We're too spread out here.
Well, can you imagine? Let's just use this as an example. Reno as an example. Can you imagine the gun battle that would occur? if something like that happened.
I personally would hope.
Their guns out, it would be a fusillade of flying bullets.
I would hope.
You know, I think that you look at, why do you think they've chosen New York and Washington, D.C. as their next targets?
Disarmed populace.
Disarmed populace. Yep. I have no doubt that in our lifetime we'll see the White House burn for the first time since 1812.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if we're quite to that
Probably
point
not
yet.
To the ground, but I'm not going to go that far. But, yeah, they'll hit it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will.
Well, the Secret Service has proven over the last 6 or 7 years
look,
that
yeah,
they're...
If you can jump the fence and run, you know, 90 feet inside the White House, trust me, they can hit it with a rocket. All right, well...
Hell of a way to end the show.
Listen, everybody, stay vigilant. Keep your head on a swivel. Get your noses out of your friggin' cell phones and pay attention to what's going on.
Stop carrying pocket guns.
Stop carrying pocket guns. These are not the same times we all grew up in. Ben, been a great show, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you all next weekend with some more lively topics. You've been listening to Ben and Gary on K-News, Armed Nevada Radio, 103.3 FM. We're out of here. Bye.